We've been hearing stories from day one, and who doesn't love a great story? I appreciate the kind where I just get totally immersed into a relatable character who seems to mirror my values and my point of view. As a consultant, there's a story I happen to tell over and over again to my very favorite clients, and I share it for a number of reasons. First, it's great. It's a great story. It's a story that every CEO can both relate to and learn from at the same time. And for me personally, it defines who I am. It just took me some 30 years to figure it out. So what's the story about? Well, we need to go way, way back into ancient Hebrew history. For many years, a young nation was being led by a reluctant leader to a new land based on a vision, a mission, and a promise. And similar to a great movie plot where the protagonist is going against a foe where the probability of success is really next to nothing, this story at first lacks a serious conflict where insurmountable odds exist. That is until the leader's arms become very tired, fatigued, and weary. So let me paraphrase this crazy-like story. And I don't even think Shakespeare could have made this up. So let's just say the bad guys were blocking the way of the good guys. The good guys are trying to get from point A to point B. The bad guys are in the way. The good guys were being led by a really cool guy. His name is Joshua. And if you're not familiar with the story, think of the clean mouth John McClane, or even a Han Solo. So Joshua, he wasn't cocky, he was confident, he feared no one. Now Joshua, he wasn't alone, he had faithful soldiers, and they filled their roles without complaint. So Joshua led them with bravery, and his soldiers, they followed him with humility and courage. So that part of the story, excellent, great. But now we've got a chairman of the board who gets involved. So the story gets really interesting when Moses enters the picture. You know, Charlton Heston. And as the story goes, Moses is holding a rod above his head. And when the rod is above his head, the good guys are winning. But when fatigue sets in, he lowers his arms. So that's not good. The bad guys start winning. So this cycle repeats. It repeats. But here's my favorite part of the story. A pair of perceptive eyes see what's going on with Moses. They promptly pull up a Herman Miller ergonomic chair and have him sit in it. One person holds up the right arm and the second one holds up the left arm. Now, when I tell this story to CEOs, some of them, I guess they went to Sunday school when they were children. Some of them actually know the guy who's holding up the right arm, which is amazing, Aaron. And in the 10 plus years I've been sharing this story, no one, I mean no one, has ever gotten the guy on the left. And his name was Hur, H-U-R. Now, I'm not a student of Hebrew, so I don't know if you pronounce the H or not. I'm just going to say Hur, H-U-R. The reason I love this story is because the person I identify the most with is not Joshua, not the cool guy, not John McClane, not his soldiers, and certainly not Charlton Heston. Because I'll never have his wisdom and humility. I'm not even Aaron. The guy I relate to the most is Hur. That's who I want to be, Hur. As a consultant, I'm the guy who wants to bridge the gap between a CEO's dream and reality. I'm the guy holding up the left arm of my client. You see, that's my job. I'm fine with no one knowing my name and remaining behind the scenes. And if you ever call me Hur, you'll be paying me the greatest compliment, albeit it's an undeserved one. So three takeaways from this amazing, cool, neat story. My favorite character again is Hur, but there are other takeaways from this amazing story. Number one, everyone has a role to fill. In this story, there's Joshua, there are the soldiers, there's Moses, there is Aaron, there's Hur. Every role was vital. Period, all the way down to the janitor. Take one of those roles away, now we're reading a Shakespearean tragedy. So in your business, in your client's business, every role is critical. I don't care who it is. So the rank and file, everyone's important. Number two, humility. Humility was the winner in the story. Lencioni got it right in The Ideal Team Player. Highly recommend it. And he asserted that humility is the greatest trait needed for a staffer who also needs to be hungry, and that's a driven person, and smart. And he means people smart. So he says the ideal team player is humble, hungry, and smart. The greatest of these, humility. I agree with him. We don't see her wanting to trade places with Joshua. We don't hear Aaron complaining that he should be Moses. Somebody once said, anyone can lead from any seat in the orchestra. And likewise, all of us can lead and play a key role regardless of the position we are in. So that's point number two. And then point number three, leaders get tired too. Many of the leaders I serve have great charisma, and they possess a kind of energy that never seems to shut off. But you and I know better. The leaders we serve need our support. They need our encouragement. They need our understanding. In smaller businesses, that support is often lacking, and that's where we can make all the difference in the world as we spur them on to greatness. So, you've heard the great story, greatest story rarely told. Who do I call you? What's your name? Do I call you Joshua? Are you one of the soldiers? Are you Moses? Or do I call you Aaron? Or do I call you her? Now, I'm embarrassed. It took me way too many years to figure this out. Early in my career, I thought I was a hero with all the answers through my skills and financial analysis. And as I look back, I just shake my head. What an immature, pompous little fool I was. And then I started growing up. And by the way, I still am. So for now, call me her. I will never have your back. I'll never have the back of my clients, but I promise I'll always have your left arm and my clients. I guarantee it.